Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. It is 1 o'clock on a, well, it's a little earlier than 1 o'clock on a fantastic Thursday afternoon in October. We have a very exclusive special guest in our studio this afternoon, Miss Robin Hatcher. You say,
hey, yeah, Keith. Right.
And I have Colleen Chesley back from Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast.
Hello.
So I want to thank you both for making this happen. This is
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely.
So we had discussed Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast just earlier this week, late last week, actually.
I think it was last week.
And now here we are again with Robin Hatcher, who's going to be speaking at the conference.
I'm doing the keynote at the conference, and I'm going to be speaking about how to raise your communication game. Because it is a game. It's a game, and we all need to win at it.
Okay. Well, let's get right into it then. I mean, you just put the book on my desk, so
I
now have to read it, mm-hmm. and it's signed, so I definitely have to read
yes.
it. So let's start there. What does the book get into?
Yeah, I wrote a book a year ago called Standing Ovation Presentations, and it is, someone wrote an Amazon review that said it is a primer for anybody who needs to do public speaking. It's like, what I do is I break down all of the steps that go into a really great presentation or any conversation. And if you're thinking, oh, I never do presentations, don't think that, because every conversation is a presentation in my book. In everybody's book, really.
No pun intended,
no
right?
No pun intended, exactly. So on top of that, I also created what is called, what I call a communication assessment tool, which is finding out what your actor type is. I spent many years, I'm not going to say how many, as a professional actor, and I am now a recovering professional actor. And I spent several years as a writer of screenplays and daytime television. So from that, I learned that we come in so many different shapes and sizes and so many different inclinations. And what I decided to do is figure out what makes you tick as a communicator and then find out what that skill is, highlight that skill, that type, and exploit it or mitigate any of the weaknesses assigned to it.
So, you know, there's so much to that. There's so mm-hmm. much more to that, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we were just talking earlier about how quickly you have to choose a role
right.
for whatever room you're in. So how does that work for you? And being a recovering actress or actor, it I can imagine that you've been through so many of them. For you, it's sort of natural, but for me, it's probably going to be a physical right. challenge, right?
It's easier than you think. I think we're smarter than you think you are. It's like we just have to tune into it. And that's what reading the book looks like. There are 9 different communication styles that I've identified. There may be more, there may be less. But like, for instance, you've got the hero, which is the lead in the movie. They're charismatic. They have all this personality and they love to talk, all of that. You can tell them, if you start watching a movie, the camera zooms in.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the hero.
Yeah.
You know, and you can walk in a room and you can figure out who the hero is in the room sometimes. And then you've got the whiz kid, which is might be completely different. The whiz kid is the person who really is into numbers and into facts and into data. And so you've got that person. You can kind of tell those people too by the way that they talk nonstop. They don't have a lot of inflection in their voice. They're really, really, really particular about detail. So you get to understand types quicker than you think. It's just a matter of really going through those types and thinking, okay, who am I dealing with now?
Right.
How am I coming off? And so how you would then talk about your business to a hero is going to be different than how you're going to talk about your business to a whiz kid. And those are the kind of things that I like to point out in my book and that I like to point out in my training and coaching, because that's what communication is about, really matching, knowing your audience, matching your audience and getting being able to get through to them, because that's what we want to do. We want to be effective.
Yeah, whether you're doing a sales presentation or hanging out here with us
yeah.
on the radio
yeah.
and trying to let people know what it is that you do.
Exactly, yeah.
So how does this come into play with Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast?
Well, Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast, I'm going to be talking to an audience of mostly women. And we all have the same communication challenges of what I really like to point out is, as you said, body language is important because, as you say, sometimes you can pick it out from the body language.
Sure.
You can look at their body language, their eye contact, their vocal tone, their vocal inflection. And so what I like to do with all my presentations and all my trainings and coaching is like to point out the body language tips that are going to be helpful. the vocal tips that are going to be helpful and some that are going to be harmful, because that's a big part of women's issues, is the way that we speak. You know, do we go up at the end of sentences instead of going down or going straight?
Right. Wait, is your statement really a question?
I know. Yeah. Are you asking me or are you telling me? Right. That's like a huge thing. And then you've seen all these horrible things about vocal fry where women are making their voices get really annoying.
Yeah.
So there's all that intonation. So we're going to be talking about that. And primarily, really, one of the issues that a lot of women face is being comfortable expressing their value. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why you? What are you passionate about? How do you talk about that? How do you honestly and authentically talk about that without feeling like you're bragging? Because it's not bragging. It's sharing. You're actually, what I like to reframe things in saying that when you're talking about yourself, when we're giving your really great information about yourself, you're helping your listener understand and better their lives. So you're really doing them a favor.
Right.
If you keep it to yourself, you can't help anybody.
Right. So you'd said some things that were damaging when talking. Mm-hmm. So what are some goods and what are some absolutely just do not do?
Well, are we talking body language or are we talking content? Content. Let's talk about, because I mentioned the vocal thing.
Yeah.
So content wise, and this is another women thing that I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It's something that I call minimizing words. And it is, I just want to kind of give you this little agenda. Which, I mean, it sounds like an exaggeration, but I guarantee you that someone has said that.
I've
done trainings and I've had one-on-ones with a lot of people, and I cannot believe how often we cut ourselves down by using those little tiny things. I just want to just take out of your vocabulary, little, kinda, people will do it constantly. And that really minimizes your power. It minimizes your message. That's one thing. Another thing that people do on a larger level is they make assumptions about their business because they've been doing it for so long. I mean, and this is across the boards, men and women. We know our businesses inside and out, and we forget that the listener does not know your business inside and out. So you start talking to them and as though they know, and you're not giving them the details of the information that's really going to engage them into knowing what it is that you do and caring what it is that you do. And the main thing that I really want to hit home is that people will do nothing if their emotions are not engaged. And so I study a lot of neuroscience. I have a certification in neuro-linguistic programming. And one of the things that it talks about in your brain is used to really talking and thinking in images and pictures and emotion. Your emotions will then inform your logical brain what it should do. But your logical brain does not go back to your emotions and say, oh, let's do that. It doesn't work that way.
There's no cross-reference.
You know, so really, What business owners and what business people fail to do most often is engage your listener's emotion. And because that emotion is such a loaded word, it's not like, oh, you want to make your listener cry or laugh all the time. It's much broader than that. You know, emotion, money is emotional.
Sure. Probably the most emotional.
Yeah, exactly. Care and nostalgia, family, these are all things that are emotional. And when you can engage someone's emotionally and then say, okay, this is where it hurts, I'm going to make it better. Or this feels really great, I can make it feel even better.
Right.
So that's what you really want to do when you're communicating about your business.
Well, and you know, and I find so many times too, with not just with the emotion I know my business, I know what we do, but you lose it in the language as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times. And I think a lot that I've learned over the last couple of months, especially with doing stuff like this, is like you said, you feel the emotion, you go with your gut. So there's been some things I've read or some things we've talked about and you get that sort of feeling when you know you're on point and your conversation's flowing back and forth.
Right. Yeah. And that's interesting because sometimes you do know that. Sometimes you know it for yourself, but you have to pay attention to your listener.
Right, and whether it's being reciprocated.
Because is it resonating? Because some people will walk away from a conversation and think, and I've had that.
What did they just talk about?
And you think it went great. You know, yeah. I've actually had clients and they, oh yeah, we did great. I did great. And I listened to it. It's like, no,
yeah.
You didn't. None of this makes any sense. You know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
And they can go on and on and on and not pay attention to the things coming back at you. It's like, oh, not getting it. But people will be polite and they're not going to ask questions.
Yeah. So what do you, and I'm curious what some of your tips or tricks of the trade here, but you know, a lot of times if you've got a sales presentation or you know your audience already ahead of time, you've got mm-hmm. some time to do your research and stuff. But let's face it, a lot of us these days see people on the streets or we make business meetings happen at a quick lunch or you see a friend at an event or something like that. So what do you think are some easy ways to identify your audience and really, right. you know, get a grip of them?
You really want to ask questions. I mean, it sounds simple, but that's the thing. That's the first thing that we forget to do. Somebody will ask you, oh, what are you up to? And you really think that they care.
They'll ask the question, but they won't hang out to listen to the answer, right?
I know. So you think, what have you been up to? And then you start spieling off what you've been up to. When actually, that's not the question. What the question is like, how can we help each other?
Right.
Is the real question under that. So sometimes you don't have to answer the question. You can answer the question with a question. Oh,
well, I know some people that
I've been
like
really,
that.
I know. And ask I've been up to, or make, you want to ask a question, then bridge to something else.
Sure.
Get some more information about the listener before you start talking about your business, because that's the meat. That's the sweet spot. It's like, because, that's what we forget to do. You ask, somebody says, tell me what do you do? And if you start launching into what it is that you do, that other person may not care. So what I like to do is sometimes I'll ask, it's like, well, do you do a lot of presentations? Yeah. Okay. So what I do is I help people with their presentation skills. Or you can start with, oh my goodness, you know, I'm just finding out that communicate, this is one of my favorite statistics. It can take up to 12 visits to undo a negative first impression. Did you know that?
Wow. No, I did not.
Yeah. So what I like to do is I help people make their first impression more lasting. Okay. And then you pause. If they want to hear more, they'll ask more. If they don't, then you ask, and what are you up to?
Sure.
So that it's got to be a dialogue. A lot of times people forget to ask questions and really find out what that person is into, because then I could shift. Because I also do leadership coaching. I do assertiveness training. I do a lot of different things. So I may not talk to them about public speaking or presentation skills if they, you know, work in a car wash.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I know I've been guilty of myself is somebody will ask, I'll ask them a question. And as opposed to actually listening to the answer, I'm already formulating what the next question is going to be in my head. So I completely missed what they've just said.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to do. It's like there's a quote. It's like most people ask questions not to hear the answer, but to
give themselves some time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and why we have two ears and one mouth, because we really need to listen harder than we speak, and it's not done often enough. So that curiosity, the thing is, I also teach a listening course from time to time, and the whole thing about that, when you're meeting somebody on the street, is to just have this one word on your forehead, curiosity. And that is something that can really help you to listen. Like, oh, wow, I wonder. I mean, you want to get curious about everything. Oh, I wonder why they're saying it like that. I wonder this. It's like, so the more curious you are, the less time you have to be in your head thinking about what's next. And that really keeps you engaged with the person that you're talking to, because you're really, really listening.
Yeah, it gives you a good approach.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
so yeah. With all of the, because you just named off like 10 more things that you do, right? So
She's a busy woman.
I know, very busy. So, I mean, tell us about it, though. How did you get into all of this stuff?
Well, all right. I can do the, go ahead.
Tell them about the recovering part. I think that's cool.
What? Yeah. So for those that can't see it in front of me, her thing says recovering actor. So
But before that, I mean, there's a long version, there's a condensed version, there's the more immediate version. The longer version is my nickname growing up was literally shy.
Okay.
So I didn't learned to talk. I didn't start talking until I was way past talking age, like two and a half. And then I babbled most of the time. So nobody understood what I was saying except for my mother. And so from there, in order to get out of being shy, I became an actor, had a great career in the beginning, doing a lot of commercials, doing stage, doing TV. You can still see me pop up on some of reruns and some of the episodic TVs like Law and Order and The Blacklist. And I started teaching English as a second language, which was a way for an actor to make money. But as I was doing it to adult students, I started seeing, wow, this is really fun, but they're not really communicating.
Right.
They're just learning getting the words.
Yeah.
And I said, this is not fun because I like these people. I really started liking all of these people and they were living in New York City. And I said, I want them to be able to go to a networking event and talk. I want them to meet people. I want them to be able to interact with New Yorkers. How am I going to do that? So I created a course specifically on public speaking. And that course was so successful that the college that I was working at said, why don't you try it on native speakers? And some of my friend, and I was falling so much in love with teaching public speaking, I said, oh, maybe I can take on some private clients. So I created my own business. That's how it all started. And from there, I met people who really, really believed in me. I met through networking and through friends of friends. I met people who owned training companies. I said, oh, I want you to come train this staff. I'm like, you realize I'm an actor, right? <You know>? But they were like, no, we believe in you. And they gave me all the training materials and I went and started training. And from there, I learned so much that I already knew about communication. I just needed to quantify it and qualify it and put names on it and put things. So from there, it just started expanding. And now I work for several different companies as a consultant. And then I have my own business where I teach these assertive training, listening skills. Conflict resolution. I do one-on-one coaching for executives. I do one-on-one coaching around communication or just around getting them in leadership. I teach lawyers how to be better leaders. So it's really expanded to a lot of different things.
Well, and I keep thinking to myself, what a great platform of being an actor to facilitate all of this, because when you're grabbing a persona or you're taking on a character, I mean, these are all the little things that you have to think about, right? I mean, how would this person handle this situation?
Yeah.
How would this person talk about this? What is their body language and all that?
Yeah. And especially the thing that really honed it in is when I was writing for the soaps, I had to write in one day. Sometimes I had to write dialogue for 10 different people. So I really had to figure out how would they say this? How would they get from A to B?
Right.
As opposed to how this character would go from A to B, I had to really think about what type they were. And that's how I really started developing some of the actor types that are in my book, Standing Ovation Presentations, which...
Available on Amazon.
There we go. Yeah, let's go. Let's get it out there. Promote.
Yeah. And so that's how I realized, and being an actor as well, because you'd go to these auditions and it's like, okay, this is the part. It's like, okay, but I got this. I can do that. And then you see this other part, and for years people would say, oh, I could do that. Why didn't I get called in for that part? And I would be sitting in the audition room and I'm thinking, because that's not you. You know, it's like, because you just don't exude that character. And I started looking into it as like, what is that? What goes into why I know you can't do that role? The casting director knows you can't do that. The audience will know that you can't do that role. So that's really made me think, like, we all have innate abilities and we all are born with certain strengths and certain weaknesses. And we really need to figure out what those are so that we can move forward.
So any certain role that was your favorite throughout your career?
You want to know my favorite role?
Yeah.
My favorite role was playing the deaf mute child in Brecht's, Mother Courage.
Okay.
I played Mother Courage's daughter who didn't speak. And ironically, I mean, not ironically, having grown up not wanting to speak, it was such a great role because you really got to do everything without a voice, you know, and had to be so expressive and be so inside and intuitive. It was really, that was my favorite.
What do you think was your worst? or maybe one you didn't like so much? Well, I'm putting her on the spot, aren't I, Colleen?
I've never had a role I didn't like. I guess whatever it might have been, I blanked it out. It's funny how you know how memory goes. It's like there's something around here that it's there, but I have no idea what it was. Something probably that I'm not, that I did not feel that, because I knew right away what I looked like, what I felt like, and what was acceptable. So the thing that I probably had the most trouble with was something that I don't feel like I innately embodied.
Well, so that was going to be, that's where I was, think it was just heading in my head, is that there are some of these roles that you were able to easily identify with. You're like you were just saying, yes, I know I can feel that. I can play that. Do you find that with some of the communication styles that you teach, that some people are more adaptable, quicker to?
Yeah. And I firmly believe that I don't ever try to change anybody. What I say is, you've got your innate type. You've got this innate type. This is what it is. This, and you know your type. You resort to it during stressful situations or under the gun, because that's the known type. So that's what you resort to. That's your type. Great. Is it working for you in this situation? No. Okay. So why don't we borrow some of the skills from another type and we'll use them? You're not going to change. I don't want to change you. I just want to give you a different set of clothing. Just like you wouldn't wear your jeans to a garden party necessarily, or like a formal dinner, you would wear a tux. So what I'm giving you is like, okay, put on your tux right now. Go in, do this communication, come home, take off your tux and be you. So, and ideally people can do that. What I really don't like is when people, like, especially in corporate, they see, oh, this is the way my boss did this presentation.
Right.
Now I'm going to go in and I'm going to do the exact same presentation. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you are not him. You cannot do that presentation. You can't. And someone, there's this, who is it? Somebody at Apple who comes out and does all that screaming thing.
Sure.
I can't remember his name. But there are times when people do these techniques and it's like, you know what? That's not, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that worked for the guy before you or the guy
yeah,
after
exactly.
you, but not you.
No, it doesn't work for you.
But that happens so much in business. Wouldn't you say, I've been in the sales industry for a long time, and typically you go and you work for a company and they hand you a book of scripts.
Right.
And
I hate that. Yeah.
I mean, they expect that will be adapted to
exactly.
you. And those are scripts that they're tried and true.
Yeah.
That work, that sell whatever product that they're trying to promote.
Yeah.
But you're right.
If
it doesn't match your personality.
I do this training for financial advisors, and I go in and I do a role play with them during a whole day. And so in a day, I will have seen maybe 10 to 12 different scenarios, people trying to pitch me the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I have the same exact scenario. They come in, they try to sell me product. And there's so many times they sit there and they think, and at the end I give them feedback. It's like, okay, somebody told you to use that tactic, right?
Yeah, the guy before.
The guy that
doesn't work. Yeah. You know, it's like, and there's a character, there's an actor type in my book called the villain. The villain actor type. And that's a very strong actor type. They're very persuasive and charismatic in their own right. And they can use that fear tactic. They can use wit. They can use cynicism. And a lot of these sales things are geared towards, like, let's make the client be afraid. And then you get this person who's a teddy bear naturally. You know, it's like this really sweet, which in my book would be called the buddy character, really sweet, friendly person comes in and tries to get you afraid. And I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah, sure. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, you just want to smack them. It's just like, it's like a fly. It's like a little gnat. That's not you. Why are you trying to make me? It just makes me angrier.
Right.
You know, when a villain does it and they do it well, I have to give them props. I still don't like that tactic, but I give them props because they did it well, because that's innately what they can do. And that's where they come from. And it's like, I may not hire you as my financial advisor because I don't like that tactic, but it's, you own it and it's fine. When somebody else tries it on, it just doesn't fit.
So how many different personas do you see on average between people that they're able to exude? I mean, are most people capable of doing two or three different styles?
Maybe two, three max. In my slideshow, which will be at the
Pursue Your Passion.
Pursue Your Passion event
conference
tomorrow, is most people are really great at doing one or two things. Then, and in the slide, my last slide is Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep is one of those people who can do five or six different characters and get away with it. But when you really think of actors, there are very few actors who you want to believe and want to buy a movie that they're playing against type. And the same happens in human, in all of us non-actor types, is that you have your one strength and that's great. And then you have maybe your secondary strength and that's great. What you need to do is then take those strengths, like in this situation, this strength is going to be more effective than that strength. Or I'm going to like take those weaknesses from that strength and leave them at home. And I'm going to bring more of the positive parts of my strength and bring them forward. So those are the kind of things that you want to know for yourself to know, because you can't do all of them. It's, ideally, you can call from different things.
Right.
You know, you can call little bits and pieces. Like, for example, if you're a hero and a buddy, which is my type is, which is easy to talk about. So I can be really friendly and happy and make friends and want to be supportive. And I can be very charming and charismatic. Those are the strengths of those parts. The negative of a buddy type is that they give the give everything away. They allow people to take advantage of them because they don't, you know, so I can't bring that to certain situations. So if I'm going to a situation where I need to sell something or persuade somebody, it's like, okay, buddy, you got to stay home.
I can see her now in the mirror on the way out the door. Okay, you're staying here.
You stay here. You're coming with me. And then, like, sometimes my hero isn't strong enough because heroes have this whole other thing going on. So then I have to say, okay, I'm going to bring in a little bit of my superhero, because the superhero is a different type. Uh-huh. You know, the superheroes then go in and I'm going to charge and do something. And then, of course, like in the middle of a presentation, if somebody's giving me pushback, or it never happens, but if somebody wanted to be a heckler or something, then I'd have to bring out my villain a little bit. And it's like, okay, I'm going to bring out my villain.
We should test her on this.
We should test her. We could role play.
You might have a heckler tonight. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, you'll see it.
I think that's really a cool way to think about it, though. I mean, it's not saying your personality is wrong or that you're not capable of doing something. It's more of acknowledging that there are certain situations that are different that require a different style.
Exactly.
And I think that is exactly how your actress training mm-hmm. has really conditioned you towards communication. It's almost like if everybody looked at it more from the acting viewpoint, it makes communication much more clear.
Right. Yeah. And there's that fear that people think, oh, I just want to be me. Mm-hmm. I'm on this whole what is it called? Tirade?
Yeah, there you go. That's it. That'll work.
About the overuse of the word authentic. You know, everybody says, right. Oh, I want to be authentic. I need to be authentic. Sometimes that's an excuse for not being adaptable, not being flexible, or not wanting to change. You know, being authentic at the expense of being effective is not very helpful.
Right.
You know, it's like you know, sometimes being yourself, and this is an article I'm writing, so don't steal it, anybody out there listening.
It's copyrighted. It's been recorded. You've heard it here first.
Sometimes being yourself is not being your best.
Yeah.
And so what I really want to do is help you realize what that difference is. Yes, you can be yourself and you can be your best. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. And being your best doesn't mean you're being fake. And that's the other thing that comes into the mix. It's like, oh, but if you're acting, then people are going to not believe you and you're being fake. It's not being fake. It's being a human being.
Well, it's no different than, you know, I think your friends know you at home.
Right.
And then they see you sort of in the work environment.
Right,
they're like,
right.
That's not you. And then the saying comes up, well, why don't you just be yourself? And I'm like, well, wait a second. There's probably 30 sides to me.
Exactly.
That make up myself. So
I am being,
you know,
I'm being myself. I'm being my work self.
Yes. And I'm adapting to where I sit right now. So
exactly. I mean, it just goes back to the analogy I used earlier. You're not going to wear your pajamas to work. I mean, some people might. I don't know.
We're on radio. How do you know we're not wearing pajamas right now?
Yeah.
That's true.
I'll tell you though, I used to work in the hospitals and we wore scrubs. That was like pajamas every day.
No.
That was great.
I don't know. I never understood that, because then you're leaving the hospital in your scrubs. How scrubby are they? I mean, how hygienic is that?
Well, I think I don't know. Hands up on this one. I know you got to change in and out. So, but yeah. And I was in the kitchen, so I was never in OR rooms and stuff like that. So
You get a pass.
Everyone was safe. So.
You get a pass.
So I know, Colleen, we talked a lot about powerful women in the Gulf Coast.
We have.
The other day, but we didn't really specifically, I don't think, get into too many of the lectures and the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our background really, I mean, we're a networking organization, but we're education first. And that's the big thing. I think there's so much information out there, and there's great resources, just like Robin, that we can tap into and bring that education to people. And we are powerful women, but we reach a broader audience than that. So doing exactly like we're doing today, bringing some education to the general population is benefiting everybody. And that's
including the men.
Including the men, absolutely. And, I mean, these are all things that we all struggle with. These are not things that are just specific to women or just specific to men. Certain genders may gravitate to different topics that we do, but in general, it's helping improve everybody. And, and our philosophy is if we help improve each person in small amounts, then we're improving the whole community.
Yeah.
And if the community grows, then the nation grows. And we're just better as a whole united group.
Yeah.
With that philosophy.
It almost goes, as you were saying, you know, taking the time to choose the persona that you were going to use for whoever it is that you're talking with, to me, almost shows that you care a little bit more about who you're talking to and how you're approaching that.
Yeah.
As opposed to being the villain and just storming in.
Exactly.
You're actually giving some thought to your audience, which means, you know, this person's on point and I can relate to this person because they cared enough to deliver things in a way that they knew I was going to accept.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
people, it's almost like speaking Greek. When you're talking to a different communication style, you could be almost talking the different language.
Yeah.
Because they just don't understand. And they try, but they don't. And then you think that, oh, they're either stupid or they're arrogant or they're not listening. And the fact is, you haven't been talking to them in a way that they can understand you. And so it becomes really complex.
Yeah. So you have an event tonight too, don't you?
We do. We have our actual Meet the Speaker social. So that is why we brought Robin in a day before the conference so that we can let other people and men are invited.
I know, I'm going.
I know. I saw you on the RSVP list. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anybody wants to attend, that is at Vince Wibbs Cadillac, and it is in Carr City here in Pensacola. It's from 5 to 7. There's no fee. And like I said, it's open to men and women. It's really going to be a social. Robin's not going to speak tonight, but she will definitely.
I'm not going to open my mouth.
She gets to read the whole room at once.
No, she's
Take
not
notes.
Playing. The mute deaf at all. She will communicate.
Oh, darn it.
Yes. Not tonight.
Tonight's for your homework.
There
so you know who
you're
talking to tomorrow.
See? Yeah, getting to know the audience. But we encourage anybody that wants to come. And we've also invited our other Ped Talk speakers. We have our conference tomorrow. And we are bringing in Pam Hatt, who is the Vice President of Marketing for Penn Air Federal Credit Union.
She's my LEAP classmate.
She is awesome. I can't wait to see what she's going to do. She is actually talking. Her presentation is about women leading women, which is a much different thing than men leading women.
Sure.
Or women leading men. So this is all about women leading women. We've also got Cindy Warren. I know you know Cindy as well. Warren Averett. She's the managing member there. And then she's also the president this year of Impact 100. So she's going to talk about women's philanthropy, and not just Impact is all about, you know, giving cash, giving a donation, but she's also going to talk about servant leadership as well and how that's a valuable thing to give as well. We've got Amy Remington. She is general counsel for Landrum Companies. So she's a legal representative for an HR firm. And what she brings to the table, she's going to talk about rights and responsibilities of women in the workforce. Women have done so much to get to the level that they are. They've broken through that glass ceiling a little bit, and they're getting up into the executive positions. But are they doing it in a way that's acknowledging the rights that they have at those positions and also their responsibilities that come with those types of positions?
Sure.
And then we've also added Dr. Janet Pilcher. Dr. Pilcher is the head of the education department for Studer Group. So she actually, her history was UWF, and she was recruited over to Studer Group, and she now heads up their entire education department. And education not being what we're talking about today, which is general business education or personal development.
Right.
It's the K-12. It's our education system.
Wow.
And
very cool.
She's going to be phenomenal. She's also giving away one of her books to every one of our attendees. So we are real excited about that.
So grab one for me, Robin, so we can add it to the bookshelf.
I know.
There you go.
Since I can't come tomorrow.
I know, right? Keith can come and peek in the windows, but no men allowed. That's where we talk about all the secrets. But she's going to be phenomenal, and her talk is going to be walk the talk. It's what are we saying, but also what are we putting behind that? What are the action steps that we're doing to really do what we're saying that we should be doing or we want to be doing out there?
Well, you know, regardless of men or women here, you guys are, you're providing some really powerful tools for people to use.
We are. We are. You know,
and to have it here in Pensacola. Yeah.
And right. A fun and interactive environment, you have to add.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're doing, we have fun. I mean, we're a big group of women, but we want to do it in a way. I was telling Robin earlier, it's almost like feeding people broccoli. It's the education without making it seem like it's dry and boring. And
so you're going to put cheese on it then?
Something like that. a little ranch, right? Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do things that are having fun. And tomorrow we're doing speed learning, which is a crazy, fast, interactive way to get to know the people sitting at your table. And it's really fun because you're going to learn, the participants are going to learn just as much from each other as they will gain from these phenomenal women that are up on stage as well. So that's all exciting stuff going on tomorrow. And then next week, I haven't seen you on the RSVP list for this one, but we have our power breakfast. The power breakfast is Tuesday the 20th. It is going to be at Gulf Coast Kids House, and who is one of the great charities that we support here in Pensacola. And it's from 7:30 to 9 in the morning. We have two of the same women that are going to be Ped Talks for us tomorrow. So we have Cindy Warren. We also have Amy Remington. And then we brought on Carrie King. Carrie is the director of operations for Studer Group. So she's the person that is behind the scenes doing all the analytics, doing all the...
That's a lot of juggling, too.
It's a lot of juggling. And she manages all the project manager. She manages the whole administrative arm of Studer Group as well. And she's going to talk about effective business communication. And that's so important, right on cue with what Robin's talking about. And it's just a subject that we can learn so much more about. But that one is open to men and women as well. That one is free to attend, but we do ask people bring diapers or they bring wipes as donations Gulf Coast Kids House. And we're hoping to fill up their inventory. They're a little short of those two items. And it's interesting how they need certain things at different times of the year. So we're hoping that together as a community, we can help restock their resources in those areas.
Well, I think you just got me for breakfast.
There you go.
I don't think I have anything else going on. I know the next day I have a lunch thing there that they're doing this sort of the same thing. It's a fundraiser for them to start stocking up the needs that they have for.
Wonderful. Yeah, they're a great organization.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they do some work that's necessary in this community, but anything we can do to help support them. That's what we're all about.
Great. So if anyone wants to get in contact with either one of you, is that, I know you're not at home screening your own emails and stuff, are you?
I am.
Lots
I
of do. Her emails. Lots. Yeah.
I know. I am. When they come in and don't go to the spam folder like Colleen's.
Oh.
Yeah, mine are going to her spam folder right now.
I can promise you, Colleen, they will never go to spam here.
I know.
Wonderful.
But you can reach me at Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, at speaketc.com, or go to my website, www.speaketc.com. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. It's all Speak, etc.
And reruns.
Yeah, watch for the reruns, and then you can say, there she is.
And we'll also include all of your links that I have here in front of me on our site as well. So if anyone wants to go to our Pensacola .businessradiox.com, you can find all of that there.
Cool beans.
Okay. So Colleen, I know you've got all kinds of contact.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
If you're in Pensacola, you probably know where I am, or I'm easily found. I'm not difficult to stalk or find me around the community. But our website is powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. And you can definitely find a lot of information on our website. There's contact information there as well. And then my personal email with the organization is Colleen. It's K-O-L-L-E-E-N at powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. And literally, I gave up my full-time position. My last day was yesterday in the financial industry.
Woo.
So I know that's exciting, letting go of 26 years of that industry to really work on Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast full-time. And my goal is to really grow this organization and provide the resources that are clearly needed in this area.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, from four years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank, is there anything we missed? Is there anything else that we know we need to let people know about before I try to close this out of here?
Can you think of anything?
I can't think of anything.
Go Mets.
Yeah,
Robin,
my cards are out, so you can have it, you know?
We're trying to get Robin's son to Pensacola.
Yeah, my son's a professional baseball player with the Reds organization. So if you have any pull out there, bring him up. He's in Daytona last year. He's in Daytona next year. Maybe Pensacola. Yeah. Then I'll come back.
I think you got a couple
come back and see him.
People you might
We've
be able to talk to over the next
here.
Couple mm-hmm. days. So, well, listen, Robin, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your super busy schedule. Yeah. And Colleen, I want to thank you for getting her here. And for both of you all for being on my show today, I really, really appreciate it. I know everybody's going to be super interested in listening to what we say. This will be played back over again and again and looped on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com.
I did think of one more
thing. Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Okay. In addition to the book that you can find on Amazon, you can find a CD, which is called A Speak ETC Vocal Workout. Because remember I was talking about all those vocal takes and having a speaking from the diaphragm, intonation. I have 12 exercises on that CD that help you create a more powerful speaking voice. So if you're really interested in doing that, you can download those exercises and get my book on Amazon.
Okay.
And one last thing I'll do is thank Keith. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is an awesome opportunity for us.
But I want to thank you.
We thank you for the thank yous.
Let's just go around and around and around. Keep thanking you. Thank you.
Okay, well, you can find us at Pensacola Radio X or on our Facebook page at Pensacola Business Radio or the website pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you,
And
Keith.
This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.